a prediction I made in 2009, where I said, look, you know, we're approaching a point here in the solar cycle that's going to get a lot worse in spite of what they're telling you. Solar cycle 24 is going to be a real surprise. And Holly's got a link to it there on the thing says, where I told solar cycle 24 is going to give us harsh, cold, dry winters, which it did from 2009 to now. We've had harsh, cold, dry winters. And so now the establishment scientists are starting to say, you know, well, we've had some harsh, cold winters, and it does tie to cycle 24. And cycle 24 is turning out to be a surprise. It's accelerating in sunspots and in coronal mass ejections. Not to mention, these are things they couldn't have predicted, or myself, there are comets that are falling into the sun.
One just hit, just a day ago.
It did, and did you see the huge, huge coronal mass ejection the other side of the sun as soon as it hit?
And we're going to probably get a piece of that, aren't we?
I think we probably will. I don't think this is going to be like the kill shot across the bow, as Major Dames might say, but we're going to get something like that to happen. And the scientists are still in the news saying, well, we just can't figure out how that works, you know. A comet falls in, bingo, we have a coronal mass ejection. And Holly and I have been looking at this for like, you know, 13 or 14 years. We've seen other comets drop in, and sure enough, bang, right after that, a CME had happened on the other side of the sun somewhere. And it's a very delicate electrostatic and electromagnetic balance on the surface of the sun. It's not totally solid like you might think. It's a plasma, and comets are charged. And when they, you know, hit, they disrupt a huge amount of very precariously balanced magnetic and electrostatic fields. And I am not surprised to see these huge coronal mass ejections. The sun has already burned up half of its hydrogen probably 3 or 4 decades ago. The Russians proved that. And once a star does that, it becomes unstable. And it can go through a phase state change eventually, which would lead to its expansion. I don't think we're going to see that right now. But I've often wondered about the biblical prophecy that says in the last days, in the tribulation period, the 7-year period of tribulation, that the sun will go dark like someone had laid a sackcloth of hair across it, like little pinholes of light. And at the same time, the moon would appear to turn to blood because the light level would be of such that it would be a dark red color coming from the moon.
And that could all happen, Stan.
Well, I think it's going to be something a lot of super sunspots all occur, and that cools off the surface temporarily until another new kind of nuclear reaction occurs on the sun, and nuclear chemistry changes, and then the sun comes back on. I mean, even the Hopi have said, we're getting ready for a 2 or 3 week period. It's going to be so hot from the sun that it'll burn the trees and the grass, just like the Book of Revelation says. So I think we're seeing in this cycle 24 some signs already that indicate what I said is correct. We are going to have some traumatic experiences with the sun. I mean, some serious killing lots of people events.
It makes you wonder, what did the Mayans know?
It does. You know, I know that there are a lot of people who argue this point in the first line of Genesis in the Bible, but it talks about a previous civilization on the earth before the Garden of Eden. It says the earth had become waste and void, and there was a previous civilization, a previous earth. So was that one of the worlds that the Hopi talk about and the Mayans allude to in theirs? I mean, I don't know. I'm keeping my mind open because, you know, when humans get involved in recording history and stuff, there are gray areas and personal, you know, accents or slants that go in the data. So in the end, you have to kind of put all the information together you can and hope you make the right conclusion and don't mislead anybody.
Let's bring Holly in here for a second, Stan. She's the expert on preparedness. Holly, if we get hit with an X flare, what do we do?
Are you talking about a direct hit?
Yeah. I mean, one that takes the grid down for a while, for example.
Well, if it takes the grid down, it will be probably a longer while than what most of us are prepared to deal with. We have been looking in at the EMP information and found out that it may not be quite as bad as what it is normally indicated. For example, generally people think that every single car is going to die unless it was pre-1970s. It's going to depend exactly on Earth, you know, what part of Earth was turned toward the sun when the EMP hit.
That's right.
There will be some areas that are having more dramas and traumas than others. And for instance, if a car, is on rubber, it's going to be somewhat, on rubber tires, it's going to be somewhat insulated from the EMP. And diesels, they don't have electric start engines, so they may still go, whereas, other cars might not.
Can an EMP affect a human, someone who, let's say, is not on a pacemaker, but somebody, does it cook them or anything like that?
It doesn't cook them, but it can cause injury, and especially if you are within 8 feet of concentrated metal, in 8 feet of metal, it's going to concentrate that pulse, and those people there that are closer to that, like heavy guy wire lines and other metal objects, that is going to concentrate the pulse, and that could, in fact, then make you more susceptible.
Electric shock and what are the things, something like that, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Stan, with these possibilities and these very real possibilities, it could also happen to other countries, maybe not just us, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a global thing no matter what happens. It'll affect the entire global structure.
Well, the people that are less technology-oriented, the ones that are more third-developed, third-nation-developed, they are going to be faring way better than the rest of us.
They can already get by without electricity.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. That's it, exactly. And we've lost so much of our knowledge of how to do it, quote, by hand, and we're so dependent on our electronics that we are the ones that are going to suffer.
They have talked about these possibilities of insulating the grid. Would that, Holly, do anything? Can they insulate the grid against an EMP flare?
Well, some of it has already been hardened. In fact, they were talking about doing a few in the major cities, but only a few, and just a couple of the outlying areas. And that was going to be something like $20 or $30 million. When you look at what government wastes, that's pennies. And they really, really ought to be doing that. However, so much of our grid is dependent on other sections, so when it starts to topple, it all goes down rather easily.
Well, there's no doubt. We saw just what happened about a month ago in California and Arizona and in that region when a little tiny power surge hit a transmitter there, and it took power out to 3 million people.
That's it. And those transformers, they're made, get this, in China. So, it takes a year. These things are so complex, George. It takes a year to make a single transformer. Then you've got to transport it over here.